141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scotland are looking to make it 4 wins from 4 in European qualifying tonight. It's Georgia up next as Steve Clark's men hope to extend their lead at the top of the group, and Rangers won't be signing Malik Tillman this summer. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Mark Wilson.
Well, what a night we have ahead of us, Andrew. The Tartan Army descending in what will be another sellout Hampden, and rightly so, because we're going for 4 wins out of 4 at the start of a qualifying campaign for the first time ever. Positive signs ahead for Steve Clark's men. Can they build on what was a remarkable result on Saturday against Norway? Can they get the job done to sign off this international break in top form, and then only the visit away to Cyprus to look forward to in September? We are in a great position. Let's hope the boys can get the job done.
Yeah, well, Steve Clark was talking yesterday about the feel-good factor around the national team, so we want to hear from you on the phones, whether you are watching it at home, whether you're on your way to Hampden at the moment and you'll be watching the game from the National Stadium. We'd love to hear your thoughts on it, whether you're reflecting on Saturday's result and what could that mean heading into tonight, what you think of tonight's result. Maybe you've got some thoughts on team selection as well. We'd like to hear from you, and we will be crossing live to Hampden as well to be speaking to Gabriel Antoniazzi, who is there for us. So 01419511025 on the phones, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. But as always, we do like to hear from you on the phone. So that's 01419511025. And I just mentioned it there, Mark, about the feel-good factor. It was a phrase that Steve Clark used a few times yesterday in his pre-match press conference. But it's hard not to get excited about the national team when you look at the results of late.
Yeah, of course. I'm in the unfortunate position, the unfortunate age, that I don't remember too many good times from Scotland teams. France 98, Euro 96, France 98, of course, I was fortunate enough. But there's a large period from that till now. Okay, we qualified for the Euros, which was great, but this is off the back of the Euros. That was the foundations. I think a lot of us said after that campaign that we saw signs of something special forming within this squad. A group of young players who've amassed a lot of caps now, a lot of experience, and they were the right group to take his places. And it's certainly looking that way at the minute. It goes to show you the results against Spain weren't just a freak and weren't out the ordinary and undeserved. They certainly have been deserved. And to go away to Norway and be 1-0 down with 3 minutes to go and turn that round shows the character that this side has. Now, this is the next big test that comes along. You've beaten Spain at home, you've beaten Norway away. These are sometimes the ones that we stumble when we are the favourites at home and we don't quite get the job done. I think this squad has it in them to dispel that. But Georgia still has their threats, of course. Some good, good players in that side. So we have to be careful, but I think we could get the job done.
Is that it? Is it, isn't it? When you look at wins against Spain and, you know, dramatic wins against Norway, you need to still win the ones like Georgia at home as well.
Yeah, well, but yeah, but bread and butter fixtures at club football, your home games, you need to win those. It's exactly the same at international level. And Scotland know fine well that when this group was drawn, the home games were always going to be crucial. And if they could pick up some points away from home, then it would be a bonus. They've done the hard thing. They've went away to Norway with Haaland in form, just coming off the back of winning that Champions League, and got the 3 points. But it's these home games. Obviously the one against Cyprus took a wee bit of time to get going, if we remember, but we got there. Spain was sensational. Let's hope we can make this one just as sensational as that Spain one.
Well, if you're watching the game tonight, maybe you're heading to Hampden at the moment, let's hear from you. 01419511025. Let's get the thoughts of Steve Clark first ahead of this one.
Be difficult. I said right at the start we had the toughest group. Georgia for sure are the toughest pot four team. One defeat in 15 matches. They're on a good run. They'll feel good about themselves. Good win away to Cyprus. Difficult place to go. Some good players, organised, good shape to their team. So, tough game. A win would be good. That's all we're focused on. We spoke after the March camp about capitalising on the home win against Spain. We managed to do that, albeit late on, against Norway. Obviously, we bring a feel-good factor on the back of those two results, but we know, and football's got a habit of biting you if you don't respect the game. So we respect our opponent, we respect the game, and we try to get another 3 points against Georgia.
Yeah, it's interesting because Georgia, they're the top four side in our group. Steve Clark has mentioned it'll be a tough game. They've only lost one game in 15, which is quite incredible for any national team, let alone, you know, a side that are top four in a group, a side like Georgia.
Yeah, Steve Clark's spot on when he says they're probably one of the toughest, if not the toughest team in pot four. And I remember watching their part of their game against Norway when it was 1-1 at home, and it was incredibly open. Norway played well that night, but Georgia looked a threat, especially on the counter attack. They've got plenty of pace, plenty of creativity in their side. So there's certain dangers there that we have to negotiate. But again, the way Steve Clark sets up his side, some people say maybe too pragmatic, sometimes a bit dull, because first and foremost, it's about defending and keeping yourself in the game. But it's effective and it gets the job done. And we have got players that can go through a defensive structure into a counter-attack and turn the game on its head. So I think we'll be, you know, wary tonight because Steve Clark knows the threats that could come at him. But I think when we get higher up the pitch, we have players that can create things and score goals. And that's, I don't think it will go all our way tonight, but I still think we've got the quality to get the 3 points.
Yeah, how different do you think this performance will need to be from the one against Norway, just in terms of style? Of course, you know, you could sit in and absorb a bit against Norway and hit them on the counter-attack. Scotland are going to need to do a lot of the hard work tonight.
Yeah, listen, it's always more difficult at home because the emphasis is on you to go and take the game to Georgia or whoever you're playing at home. And that was the case for Norway on Saturdays. Norway had to come at Scotland, and Scotland could quite easily set up in that structure, be very difficult to break down, frustrate. And at times, Andrew, I was looking at the game thinking, we are getting nothing out of this because we carried such little threat at the top end of the pitch. But it goes to show you, when you have that resilience and that belief and that mindset, and players who are willing to get up and support guys like Dykes, then you've always got a chance. And I think it'll be similar to stages tonight. I don't think there's any chances going all gung-ho, because we know the threat that Georgia possess. We know the quality they've got, that they can spring an attack and pick you off. So again, we'll be careful, but you know what, the emphasis of course will be on us to win the game. And when you win games against Norway and Spain, there becomes an expectation, a belief from the stands that can sometimes make it harder on the pitch. Scotland players will be well aware of what's expected of them tonight.
Well, we want to hear your thoughts out there as well. 01419511025 is the number you need, or you can tweet us at ClydeSSB. Maybe you've got some thoughts on team news, because that will be coming along shortly, maybe in the next 20-25 minutes or so. So we'll bring you that from Hampden when we get it. Would you expect there to be many, if any, changes tonight, Mark?
From the start and 11 the other, not particularly. I mean, if everybody's fit and ready to go, then I think it'll be pretty much the same. I really can't see, even though Kenny McLean takes his goal fantastically well the other day, it was a brilliant goal, I don't really expect to see him come in. So much of the same, maybe just a few tweaks in how we go about that starting 11 in terms of how we take the game to Georgia at times, rather than being a defensive unit. But I think Steve Clark is fairly loyal to players, players that do the job for him. And although we went one behind with that starting 11, they did a lot of things right in the game, and carried out the manager's instructions almost to a T. So no, I wouldn't expect many changes, and I think that'd be the right call, if I'm honest.
That is the beauty of the Scotland side at the moment. You look at the substitutions that Steve Clark made and some of the quality that he's able to bring on at the moment, guys like Billy Gilmore that are coming on and helping make a difference. So he will have a selection headache going into games, although as you say, he does have that loyalty to certain players.
Yeah, well, and some of the criticism that Steve Clark took at the time when he made those substitutions, you only have to look at social media and some of the backtracking that's went on there this week. Some people, rightly so, pointed out that when we were one down and looking for a goal, that Steve Clark chose to go for McLean and chose to go for Gilmore instead of putting on a more attacking option, if you like. But goes to show, he got it spot on. He knew what he was getting with Gilmore in terms of he can keep the ball and play forward passes. And Kenny McLean, he's got legs in there who, when he gets into the final third, shows real quality and can nick you a goal. So Steve Clarke knows what he's doing. But I just think he probably will stick with that starting 11 that begun the game in Norway.
It's a very Scottish thing to not get carried away, because we've been burnt in the past quite a lot. But if Scotland get all 3 points tonight, 4 wins from 4 in this group would be an incredible start to the point where it would be a disaster almost if Scotland didn't qualify, just based on how well they've done in those first four games, certainly
we'll
the first three to this
flight,
point.
Andrew, tonight we will be booking our flight to Germany if they win. No, look, if they win tonight, I say let's take nothing away from Cyprus, because it was a wee bit of a sticky afternoon for us when they came to Hampden. But again, you'd expect Scotland to go away to Cyprus and win on September the 8th. Now that puts us in an unbelievable position to negotiate the game against Spain away in October, and then of course Norway at home. So win tonight, this is one of the more trickier, tougher ones, when you're coming off the back of such a high and everyone thinks, oh, it's Georgia. I mean, Georgia, they don't qualify for a major tournament, we should beat them. It's not as simple as that on the international stage. So negotiate this one well, get 3 points, and then we'll be in Germany next year.
Let's hear from you at home, 0141 951 1025. Let's first get the thoughts of Aaron Hickey ahead of this one on a few different things, and one of those is the potential of facing Kvicha Kvaratskhelia tonight, the Napoli winger.
It boosts your confidence, you know, going away and playing against the likes of Haaland, Odegaard. You know, they were a good team. I thought they played quite well, but we managed to end up getting 2 goals. So, obviously it boosts your confidence going into the next match. I think we all just believe in ourselves, you know, as a team. We all work hard together, but we believe in ourselves, but we know that we have to work hard to get the results. So, we're sort of just taking it game by game, and just focusing on the next one.
Alan, if selected, how much are you looking forward coming up against Kvaratskhelia, the Napoli winger?
Yeah, I think we all know he's a top player, so I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a challenge for me, but I think the full team know that we just have to try and shut him off as much as we can, and just hopefully we'll do our best.
Mark's been spending the whole of that clip trying to pronounce Kvicha Kvaratskhelia. Are you brave enough to try it on air?
Kvaratskhelia.
Let's just leave it there before we get ourselves in trouble. Let's go to Hampden Park, where Gabriel has all the build-up for us.
Thanks, Andrew. And yes, good evening from Hampden Park, where Scotland have the chance to take a huge step towards qualifying for a major tournament this evening. They welcome Georgia to Glasgow. The atmosphere is beginning to build here at the south side of the city, ahead of the crucial clash. The Scots looking to continue their perfect start to their Euro 2024 qualifying campaign, following impressive victories over Spain and Cyprus in March and a stunning late comeback win against Norway just 3 days ago. The mood amongst the camp is at an all-time high under manager Steve Clarke, and the boss believes his side will only get better and that there is much more to come. We aren't expecting too many changes to the lineup this evening, given the significance of Saturday night's result. If anyone is likely to come in, perhaps it's Billy Gilmore after his impressive cameo in midfield off the bench. The opponents this evening are ranked 41 places below Scotland in the world rankings. However, they have shocked Scots in the past, winning 2 of the past 3 meetings. I think 2007 and 2015, where results in Tbilisi cost the nation qualification. Now, Georgia have also made their own impressive start to the group. They beat Cyprus and drew in Norway, so they actually sit in second place, just below Clark's men. They're unbeaten in 10 competitive internationals. It's the longest such run in their history. They, of course, have the Napoli superstar winger Kvicha Kvaratskhelia, one of the best left-sided players in the world at the moment. And credit to Stephen McGowan, friend of the show, for this stat. The fourth game of a qualifying group has often been Scotland's sticking point, having only won 1 of their past 12. But let's not be doom and gloom. This side are not responsible for past failures. They have full belief they can win this tonight and put themselves on the brink of reaching Germany next summer. It is going to be a sellout here, and it'll be rocking by kickoff at 7:45. I'll bring you team news when I get it.
Yeah, Hampden will fill up nicely. Thank you to Gabriel for that. We'll go back to Hampden to get team news shortly. It was that stat he was saying in there that match day 4 for Scotland in qualifying is terrible, is it? 1 win in 10 or 12, I think it was, that Gabriel said. Let's not think about
even
that.
Digging into
yeah,
that.
Come
I
on.
Mean, I tell you what, full marks to him for the pronunciation. Cavaraccellia.
Oh, don't even. Right, stop.
Ah, we're struggling into bite. Gavs was brilliant there.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his performances because he obviously played against Rangers in the in the Champions League group stages. He's had a fantastic season. He is just one of the rising superstars in European football at the moment, and he will be the type of player that. But clearly, with the results that Georgia have had, he's not the only good player in their team. He is just head and shoulders above the rest.
No,
of
course
them.
Not, and that's why we need to be careful. You know, it's only natural that the press ask Hickey about that because he's a standout player. Of course, there's.
And he'd be a direct opponent of Aaron Hickey's as well, wouldn't he? Because Kvaratskhelia is a left winger.
There's going to be, you know, all sorts of other quality on their side as well. But he has been the standout this season. Loved watching him in the Champions League. And of course, came off the back of winning the league as well. When I play, had an outstanding season. And he will be the next big transfer, probably, or one of the big transfers. I know Napoli's a great club to play for, but a big offer will come in for him. So, of course, we need to put the shackles on him tonight, and it probably will be Hickey's job, but plenty more quality on that side.
Yeah, but then similar to the discussion we had ahead of the Norway game, Scotland just need to be the ones imposing themselves, whether it's John McGinn, whether it's, you know, Scott McTominay, Callum McGregor, whether it's Lyndon Dykes getting the goal at the weekend there, that the Scotland players need to be the ones thinking, you know what, we need to make sure the opponents are fearing us.
Well, of course, I think Georgia would have done their homework very well, of course, on your players, and they don't really need to dig too deep because our players are now on the world stage. When some of those names you just mentioned there, some of them playing in the top league in the world, so they're right in the forefront of people's minds. I know McTominay, not often a starter for Man United, but you look at McGinn the season he's had, obviously the captain Andy Robertson, you've got Kieran Taylor. So well-known players, and Georgia will know a lot about them, but it's up to those guys to perform. And those guys that I've just mentioned, very rarely did they let us down now. There was a bit of a stigma about Andy Robertson never turns up for Scotland. Well, he's kind of dispelled that myth now. John McGinn, where's his best position? Steve Clark knows where that is. He's our talisman. And Lyndon Dykes, is he the man to lead the line? Is he just, do we kick the ball up to him? No, he's a lot more than that. And everybody else built around about him. We've got a fantastic side, fantastic squad. Let's hope we see the best of them tonight.
Well, Scotland fans, let us know what you are thinking ahead of this game tonight. Maybe you've got some thoughts on team news as well. Before we go back to Hampden, 01419511025. Maybe your attentions are still on the domestic side of things. You're a Celtic fan potentially that wants to talk about the return of Brendan Rodgers. Maybe you're a Rangers fan and you've heard that news today that Malik Tillman won't be returning to Ibrox. Any thoughts on any of these topics? 01419511025.
Are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, looking ahead to that big game at Hampden, Scotland against Georgia. Steve Clark's men looking to make it 4 wins from 4 in Euro 2024 qualifying. So if you're out there, you're looking forward to the game, maybe you've got some thoughts on team news, give us a call. 0141 951 1025. We will go back to Hampden to get that all important team news shortly, as soon as it drops. And of course, there is big domestic football news happening as well. The appointment of Brendan Rodgers, the return of Brendan Rodgers, official yesterday. Celtic fans, maybe you've got some thoughts to add to the ones we heard yesterday. And Rangers fans, it's now official today that Malik Tillman will not be returning to the club this summer. I wonder what you think of that on 0141 951 1025. Just going to that news from yesterday, Mark, it was no real surprise when at around midday it was announced that Brendan Rodgers has made his return. We'd been talking about it all last week, but now official on a 3-year deal.
Yeah, box office stuff, I think, from Celtic replacing Ange Postecoglou with Brendan Rodgers, an elite manager. I think it's a great appointment, I really do. The success he had at the club can never be taken away from him. How he shaped the team, the attractive football he played, it just ticks a lot of boxes what's expected of a Celtic manager. And of course, listen, the relationship will still be frosty in some certain quarters of Celtic fans, but I think that will thaw pretty quickly.
I mean, there was quite a lot of positivity on the phones last night. I think pretty much every Celtic fan that phoned in was happy about the appointment, was looking forward to it, was, you know, just kind of looking back on 2019 and saying, well, yeah, you know, wasn't happy about it at the time, but willing to forgive and forget.
Well, of course, because I think the more sensible football fan will look at what Brendan Rodgers brought to the club and why he was tempted away. He was tempted away to a Leicester side who at that time were investing huge amounts in their squad to try and replicate some of the success that they got with winning the league. It was never going to happen. But they saw Brendan Rodgers as the best bet. That's an English Premier League club. That means he was a huge success here, which he was. 7 trophies out of 7. Set up nicely, Neil Lennon, for that 8th, the league, and Neil obviously got over the line with the Scottish Cup. So he won everything in sight. Now, where he has to improve is, of course, European football. I think that's what's driven him back, really. Obviously, making amends with the Celtic fans is probably a huge thing for him, and to keep this run of domestic success going. But I think he's got unfinished business in the European campaign. He tasted a semi-final with Leicester in terms of the Conference League, but the Champions League is where elite managers like him want to manage, and he gets a crack at that with Celtic.
And the intrigue now is what happens next in terms of recruitment, in terms of Brendan Rodgers shaping this Celtic side, how many changes he feels he needs to make from Ange Postecoglou's team, who are just off the back of a treble.
Well, that is the interesting thing. When Brendan Rodgers came the first time round, the landscape was totally different because they were getting into European qualifiers. He didn't quite know what his budget was going to be. He didn't know who he could attract to the club to sell the Champions League dream on. Totally different. He's inherited a very good squad, a group of players who are relatively young, who have probably got their best days ahead of them, and he's been probably handed a kitty to go and do what he likes to strengthen this side. So one, he'll look to improve the team that's there, but he will look to bring a couple of players in. Just who and where he sees those players fitting in, we don't quite know yet.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Joe is a Celtic fan on the line now. Joe, after that news being made official yesterday, are you in the camp of Celtic fans that's happy to see Brendan Rodgers back?
Yes, I would be, definitely. As I said before, I was probably the same as every other Celtic fan when Brendan left. Felt a wee bit betrayed. But when I watched his wee comment on the news the other day, and it was a comment from when he first came in, and he said, if I was to make the decision with my heart, I'd beat Celtic all my life. We all know as adults that it's not just about running with your heart. You've got to use your head as well, and it's about money and everything else. But as long as Brendan comes back in and wins games for Celtic and he beats Rangers, stays in top, I'm quite happy. But what I would like to say is I wouldn't like to come back and go back to the style of play he was doing the last time he was here. I know it was successful, we won a couple of trebles and that, but it's the fact that his mantra was always, if we've got the ball, keep possession, the other team can't score. And I thought it became a wee bit boring at the end up. And just don't hope it doesn't really go back to that.
Do you agree with that, Mark? Because I think at the time, Brendan Rodgers did get a lot of plaudits for the style of play he brought to Celtic. Certainly initially, I think maybe towards the end, you know, Joe's saying that, you know, it maybe wasn't working as well as it did right at the start, but he still won 7 trophies out of 7.
Well, first couple of years, no one said a thing, you know, because it was a different style than we're used to in Scotland, where it was purely possession-based, making, you know, the whole space of the pitch, using every part of it, kind of reinvented the way Scott Brown played, remember, instead of Scott charging about everywhere like he built his career on, he played a more central role, and that probably got the best out of Scott in those years. Goalkeeper was involved a lot from the back. You know, the goalkeeper had to learn to play with his feet. So it was a lot different. But the first 2 years, hugely successful. Yes, I do agree with Joe that people sometimes get a wee bit bored at the end. And then what they saw in the last couple of years is a totally different style, kind of swashbuckling, attacking, free-flowing football that gets fans off their seats. I can see what Joe's saying. Going back to a slower, possession-based football might be difficult for some fans to get used to, seeing what they've seen the last couple of years. But we don't know. Brendan Rodgers is a top manager. Top managers evolve with times and different trends in the game. I think he might come back with a different idea. I don't think we're going to see a replicated style to what we've seen before. If anything, I think it will be a kind of hybrid of what we've seen under Postecoglou and what Brendan brought before, kind of mix of both. I hope we do, because that's what most of the Celtic fans want to see.
Joe, does Brendan Rodgers need to come in and address what happened in February 2019? Does he need to make any sort of apology, or is it just a case of getting his head down and trying to be as successful as he was in his first spell?
I don't think it's a matter of coming in and making an apology. It had done what he felt was right for him at the time. I just hope that he does come in and mix up a bit, and he tries to make it a wee bit more urgent, the play, because it makes it more exciting to watch. And I hope he also does change some of the personnel on the team. I like bigger strikers, more physical players, because they can last longer in the season.
So in terms of Kyogo, I mean, is he not doing it for you?
You can't deny the stats, but I spoke to Celtic fans at the time, friends at the time, and the Japanese boys came in, and I always thought they were a bit lightweight. And there, for example, Kyogo was injured for in the first season, was, you know?
I mean, he was out injured for 2 months. He still managed to score over 50 goals in two seasons, which isn't a bad return.
No, and if you look at the stats, that's fair enough, and it was great football to watch. So I just hope Brendan comes in, does a wee bit of a mix, and gets a bit of bigger boys in the team, so that we don't get bullied, because I've mentioned this before.
Well, listen, Ange Postecoglou had options to Kyogo. He had Giakoumakis, and he let Giakoumakis go. You know, some Celtic fans think that was the wrong decision. I probably think it's the wrong decision, because look at the way he started in America. He was physical. It was an alternative option to Kyogo. He's got O in there now, that's an alternative. But the truth is, it doesn't really matter how big and physical you are. If you're scoring 30 goals, 30 plus goals a season, and your movement is as good as Kyogo, you're always going to lead the line for Celtic. But what's interesting, if Brendan Rodgers decides, you know, I'm not going to go with just the one guy through the middle, I'm going to mix it up and put someone alongside Kyogo, be unusual, but you just don't know what a new manager brings. New ideas, as I said, they're always looking to evolve, always looking to keep up with trends elsewhere, and he might just have a different idea for this team.
Did you feel that was an issue last season, Joe, in terms of Celtic getting bullied physically, because they seemed to cope with it pretty well over the course of the campaign?
Well, to be honest, Rangers sort of, as I said, I've spoken about this before on the show, and Rangers have bullied us in the past year and a half, at least 2 years in games. And it's, I would say, even though we maybe scraped the result or whatever else, Rangers have been doing that to us for years.
I mean, Celtic were still winning the majority of the games, though, so would you not rather win the games than win the physical battle, if that's what you feel Rangers were winning?
I know what you're saying. I'm caught between a rock and a hard place, and I want to see decent football, but I'm no man.
You want to see a team of wrestlers playing like Man City, Joe? That's not going to happen. I mean, like, Rangers were robust at times. You know, you look at some of the, like, Lundstrom and Goldson can handle themselves, and they know they're right. But I would argue that even for Callum McGregor, not being as big as Lundstrom or Goldson, he can still handle himself. You look at Carter Vickers and Starfelt, very rarely see those two get bullied. I'm guessing Joe means at the top end of the pitch, but like I say, if you've got movement and pace and creativity like Jota, Abada and Kyogo and Maeda, then you can do without the physicality if you can get past people like they have done.
Well, we'll go to Hampden shortly to get breaking team news for that Scotland against Georgia game, but we will stick with the phone lines at the moment. Joe, thank you to Joe. Let's go to Michael, who's in Liverpool. Michael, what are you making of the return of Brendan Rodgers?
I agree with Joe, because I did think when Brendan Rodgers, near to the end, his football became stale, right? And the same thing happened at Liverpool. That's why they got shot at him. And then the same thing in Leicester as well, you know. So for me, it's a bit of a worry, right? Because I just don't want it to happen again, you know what I mean? And Joe's right about Rangers. You know what I mean? Because when Martin O'Neill was the manager, right, Martin O'Neill had bigger guys, like your Johan Mjalby, who I loved, big Bobo Baldi, Youthful Harn, a good squad when Martin O'Neill was the manager. But the thing is, for me, I don't want that to become, his football to become stale, because I think Ange Postecoglou is a better manager than him. Even though what he's achieved, you might think it's laughable what I'm saying to you, but That's my opinion. And I just think I would have liked somebody else. Because why? Because Brendan Rodgers isn't short a few bob or two, right? So why is he getting the privilege of being paid the highest manager in Celtic's history when Postecoglou should have been offered a 4-year contract by Celtic? And
well, there's nothing to suggest, Michael, that Celtic didn't go out their way to try and tie Postecoglou down to a contract, and you know he maybe didn't want to accept it because he wanted to go down to England, and then in return Celtic felt that Brendan Rodgers was the best man for the job to come in because he'd previously been there and won 7 trophies out of 7.
But see, Neil Lennon came back twice and he messed up. You know what I mean? So,
well, Michael, Neil Lennon came back and messed up after a period of success. People forget that about Neil, that, you know, they tend to see what happened at the end of Neil's reign as an overall picture of what Neil was as Celtic manager. Neil was hugely successful, remember? And he got another treble.
He completed the treble and then got
another treble on top of that. So if that's the standards that some Celtic fans hold are incredibly high, that winning a treble isn't enough or qualifying. Listen, Neil qualified for the last 16 of the Champions League, but because the style of football wasn't what some wanted to see, then he's not held in the same regard as other Celtic managers. Look, Martin O'Neill's team were exceptional. I played against them and I was lucky enough to play with some of these bigger hitters that Mike are talking about, but football is different now. I don't think we're going to see a team at Celtic Park that's full of 6-foot-plus players who, you know, command high transfer fees for everywhere we go. Celtic are as far away from that as possible. They're much about what Ange Postecoglou did and bringing players in the cheap, developing them, selling them on, and if we get a few stars in that, then so be it. Brendan Rodgers has got the job because he's an elite manager who can get the best out of that squad and tempt other players in who might not come to Scottish football if there's not a figurehead like Rodgers at the helm.
Well, thank you to Michael. We will get breaking team news from Hampden after the break. So if you've got any thoughts ahead of that big game between Scotland and Georgia, give us a call now. 0141 951 1025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and still a chance for you to get your thoughts in ahead of that big game between Scotland and Georgia. But let's not keep you waiting any longer. Let's get the team lineups from Hampden with Gabriel Antoniazzi.
Yes, Andrew, I've just got the team news out of the Hampden dressing rooms below me, and Steve Clarke makes just one change to the side that beat Norway on Saturday. Midfielder Billy Gilmore comes in after his impressive cameo off the bench. Ryan Christie is now amongst the substitutes, whilst John McGinn will push further forward to support the striker. So Clarke sticks with a 3-5-1-1 formation. It's Angus Gunn in goal. Aaron Hickey will be right wing back with captain Andy Robertson on the other flank. The back three will be Jack Henry, Ryan Porteous and Kieran Tierney. Callum McGregor is at the base midfield along with Scott McTominay, and Billy Gilmore is now in there. As I said, John McGinn is pushed forward just behind Lyndon Dyche. Substitutes: Kelly, Clark, Suter, Shankland, Christie, Cooper, Armstrong, Ferguson, Nisbet, Jack, Taylor and McLean. So a strong bench for Scotland this evening. What about the opponents? Well, Georgia coach Willie Sagnol has picked this 11 in what we think will be a 3-5-2 formation. Mamardashvili in goal, a defence of Kverik Velia, Kasia, Gagnidze, Kakabadze, Kitishvili and Kverik Vekskiri. Lobjanzi, Dvali are behind Mitkodze and Kvaratskhelia. Now look out for those two up top. Kvaratskhelia, as we know from Napoli, electric coming in off the left flank. And Mikordadze has scored in both of his last two games. The players have just been out on the pitch getting a feel for the grass. The fans are starting to flood into their seats on this humid evening in Glasgow. The referee is István Vád from Hungary, and we are just about an hour away from kickoff.
Well, thank you to Gabriel for probably what was unnecessary Georgia team there, but I think he was just trying to show off his pronunciations there. But
that's not the most professional job I've ever heard. I don't know what is. Outstanding.
Were they all spot on, Mark?
Pretty much. I would have liked to have heard the bench, but he bottled it for the bench, did he?
Oh well, right. Let's get to the phones. Tony is next up in Rutherglen. Tony, big game for Scotland tonight. You've heard the team lineups. Are you looking forward to that game?
Aye, very much so, yeah. I think I'm pretty confident Scotland will get a result tonight and make it 4 wins out of 4. But my main point is to Mark Wilson, who I've actually met as a Celtic fan years ago when he was playing for Celtic. My main point is, does he think, given the transfer kitty that Ben Ross has been promised, does he think the Celtic will sign their first £10 million player this season?
Oh, it's a good question. By the way, Tony, the way football's going now, it wouldn't surprise you. If Brendan Rodgers is to make a serious dent in Europe, and you've got to believe that when he had those meetings with the board, that is part of the remit, to either advance in the Champions League at the group stage or drop into the Europa League and go deep into the tournament, or if it happens to be the Conference League, then get to the latter stage. You have to keep up with times, and players now, the transfer fees are going for astronomical sums. £10 million is not a lot when you take into consideration the full of Europe. Might sound a lot here, but it isn't. So when he's got a kitty and he's been asked to complete a job, I wouldn't be surprised, Tony, if he did, but it's identifying who that is.
Tony, is that the type of money you feel is needed to improve on Celtic's current starting lineup?
Aye, definitely. I think they need to kind of burst the bank here if they want to make a dent in Europe, especially in the Champions League, when the automatic qualification into the group stages. They need to try and make some sort of headway in Europe again. I think the last time they done it was against Barcelona in 2012 when they won at Celtic Park, and that was up to the last 16. So I think if they're promising them that kind of thing, they have to kind of back them on this time, you know. Because I know they lost it in John McGinn, and I think that didn't go down well with Brendan Rodgers the last time, you know.
But here's the thing, Tony, with that as well, this is where it becomes difficult for Brendan Rodgers, because he was shopping in an entirely different market when he was given vast amounts by Leicester, and he could go and not only offer huge transfer fees but huge wages to back up. Now he has to have a look at who he can attract for that money. So having an eye for a player is completely different in Scotland than it is to England. And that's why Postecoglou was such a success here, and his recruitment team who was behind the scenes. I think a lot of Celtic fans will hope Brendan can work that kind of ticket along with the recruitment staff at Celtic also.
Yeah, he was definitely backed at times in his first spell as well. You look at, you know, the signing of Odson Edouard, that was £9 million as well. But of course there was a lot of money coming in for players as well that they'd sold.
Yeah, without doubt. And listen, that might be the case as well. We chat about who Brendan is going to keep, who can he make better, but let's be honest, the maybe bids for Celtic players are coming off of back 2 years of success where they've now, some of these players played in the Champions League and impressed in the Champions League. Brendan Rodgers might just be considering some bids coming in and thinking how he can fill certain positions. But Tony's idea of £10 million players, yes, of course, with the amount of money coming in from automatic Champions League qualification, you can't think it's far off.
Well, thank you to Tony. I think we will have time for one more call. Just want to get your thoughts on this, Mark. Story today, Malik Tillman won't be rejoining Rangers on a permanent deal this summer. Bayern Munich have essentially paid a cancellation fee. Rangers, of course, had an option to buy Malik Tillman at the end of his loan deal for, I think it was around £5.5 million. Bayern Munich could have then bought him back on their own for £9 million after that as a sort of buyback clause. But essentially what they've done is they've paid a £1 million cancellation fee to sort of put that to rest. So there's no negotiations that are going to happen between Rangers and Bayern Munich. And then on top of that, Rangers would get 10% of any sell-on fee for if Bayern Munich.
I think it's quite extraordinary. Quite extraordinary. The deal of the century, I think, from a Rangers point of view. There's no doubt Malik Tillman was a good player in spells for Rangers. A young player who probably or might have developed into something special. But there's no guarantee with that. So I was never convinced that Rangers were going to go the full hog and pay £5 million for him. I think if that was the case, it may have been done or negotiated a lot earlier. But to get £1 million and 10% a sell-on fee for a player that's not yours is incredible. I've never heard of that ever in football before. There might be some cases out there, but I think Rangers have come out of this pretty good when you think what they're banking and what they could bank going forward.
Yeah, because Bayern Munich will certainly be looking at it from a profit side of things, that you'd think they'd have sounded out other clubs and thought, well, we can actually get more than that 5 million elsewhere. There's been talk of interest from the likes of Brighton and Brentford. If they're able to sell him for example £10 million, that would be a total of 2 million going to Rangers. Bayern Munich would then get £8 million of their own, rather than just, you know, the five million that they would have got from Rangers.
So good business all round from everyone. But you've got to think that this may have came down to the player himself also. At the end of the season, I said I was at the PFA Awards and he accepted his award, and he didn't seem like a player who was desperate to be here the following year. If he's went back and said, listen, I'd rather try somewhere else next season, then that kind of puts that deal to bed. So I think Rangers can be happy with their business. Bayern Munich obviously get a bigger amount of money, but incredible.
Paul is a Rangers fan on the line. Paul, what do you make of that news today?
Hi there. Thanks for having me on, Andrew. Listen, I've seen to your producer there. I think you're a good young guy, young talent and everything else, but I wasn't too fussed, to be honest. I think we've got a good deal out of that, to be honest, with the £1 million and the 10% fee. But no, not the flip side of things, I would have liked to have seen him in with a new team, because I think he was in amongst players that were kind of, when they knew they were leaving Rangers, so when Morelos and Ken kind of on their way out, I suppose they didn't get a fair crack at them under a new team and under a new leadership. So I'd have liked to have seen that. But to be fair, I think, no, I'm liking the signings Michael Beale bringing in. Quite excited, what I said to the producer there, excited to hear about a new formation. I think I've been getting quite bored, and I know some of my other friends that are Rangers fans are saying the same, that the 4-2-3-1 formation was just the one up front constantly. I think teams were working us out, sussing us out all the time. So I think hopefully a new dimension maybe mix things up a wee bit. I think I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good season, good campaign. I don't think Brendan Rodgers will have his own way like he did the first season around. Martin will maybe disagree, but you know, to be honest, Rangers just got promoted to that time. You know, it was a championship team, I would say. It wasn't a team as strong now. And I think it was getting there when Gerrard came in 2018. I'd have liked to have seen maybe another year with Rodgers there with Gerrard and seen how it panned out, but no, I definitely think it'll be a lot more competitive this time. I just wanted to add in,
I'll take that point, Paul, and I'll put that to Mark. I mean, Paul was talking about formations and things like that. I mean, Michael Beale did show flexibility towards the end of the season. Yeah. He was playing with two up top, but you want to be able to play that with his players that he's brought in.
Of course, he was searching for different formulas. Who knows what he's going to come up with next year, but one thing is, I think he'll have an improved squad. I do think it'll be a more competitive league. I'm thoroughly looking forward to it. Who'll come in through the door transfer-wise for both sides will determine the way this title is going to go.
Well, thank you to Paul. Unfortunately, that is all we've got time for tonight. We are running out of time, but of course a big game for Scotland tonight against Georgia. Looking forward to that one. So make sure to join me and Kenny Miller tomorrow night from 6 o'clock. We will be giving you all the reaction to that massive game. Can Steve Clarke's men make it 4 wins from 4 in Euro 2024 qualifying? Lots to look forward to, and of course lots of domestic stories going on as well. So thank you very much for joining us, whether it was on the phones, whether it was tweeting in tonight, or just listening at home. And make sure to stick around tonight, because Callum Gallagher is up next.